So as Maggie mentioned earlier, we found that the intervention works. But before we actually came to that conclusion, we wanted to look at implementation to see if there's anything we could do within the context of the trial to look at ways to figure out how to implement this intervention once it's found to be effective. Some of you may know that it takes about 15 to 20 years for new interventions to be researched and then adopted into clinical practice. So there's this new area of research called implementation research, which Nick mentioned before, which aims to understand how to close that research to practice gap. Implementation research focuses more on studying factors, processes, and strategies that are associated with successfully integrating an evidence-based intervention into clinical practice. So traditionally, when you do implementation research, you tend to do it once efficacy is established for the intervention and effectiveness is established. But this is new type of research that's emerging now called hybrid implementation research. And this type of research is usually conducted when the intervention is still being studied for efficacy and effectiveness. So we decided to take an opportunity with the DCIDI intervention to look at factors related to implementation while we were examining the efficacy and effectiveness of the intervention. So we did this in order to understand beforehand what would happen in a real-world context. And this information could be, in turn, be used to develop an implementation strategy that could be tested in a full-blown implementation study. So we did a qualitative study using a process evaluation approach, and we interviewed the care managers who delivered the intervention to the patients, and we also interviewed the site investigators who were in charge of conducting the study at their respective clinics. So in total, we had 7 care managers who we interviewed, and we also interviewed 11 of the site investigators who were involved in the study. So we did a semi-structured interview with the care managers and site investigators, and we looked at 4 factors that have been found to be really influential in implementing intervention in the literature. So the 4 factors that we looked at were the alignment of the intervention with organizational goals and patient needs. We looked at buy-in and support from leadership, providers, and administrative staff. We also looked at the role of leadership and key personnel in delivering the DCIDI intervention. And finally, we looked at the availability of organizational resources and infrastructure support for carrying out the intervention activities. We coded using the 4 aforementioned factors, and we also used open coding to see if there's any new data that emerges from the interviews that we did. And we had 2 coders to organize the codes into themes by using inductive qualitative methodologies to identify the most salient themes. So just to go into the results, with the first factor, the alignment of the intervention with organizational goals and patient needs. Overall, we found that clinics' decision to deliver the intervention within the context of the study was shaped by how closely the intervention aligned with the intervention. The DCIDI intervention was geared towards racial ethnic minority patients and to improve care for minority patients. And we found that a lot of the clinics that participated in the study, they had that same mission. They wanted to serve underserved populations and to hopefully deliver quality care to their minority patients. So the goals of the intervention aligned well with the missions of the clinics. However, there were some barriers in regards to this particular factor. Sometimes the patients who were involved in the study had their own constraints. A lot of times they had difficulty with transportation, difficulty finding time off, and getting childcare to watch their children while they participated in the study. So overall, we found that there were some patients who had difficulty attending all 3 of the DCIDI trainings in addition to seeing their providers. And just to give you 1 quote from one of our interviewees, our participants, their schedules, their limited resources with regards to transportation and childcare, they couldn't just get away from work. You know, a lot of these participants who were patients of the clinic, they had a couple of jobs. They may not have an understanding employer. They may not actually get much of a lunch break. And oftentimes, then, they would try and squeeze an appointment, so that made things challenging in regards to how do we find a time to meet with the participants so that they don't have to come to the clinic twice, but also don't end up jeopardizing their jobs by staying longer than they would have stayed if they just had the appointment. So looking at the next factor, buy-in and support for leadership, providers, and administrative staff, we found that for across the clinics, for the most part, there was buy-in within the intervention. And this helped because the clinics found that the intervention really easily blended into the clinic's rubric. Another element of buy-in that was helpful for us was that a lot of times the clinics didn't really care about what happened in the other clinics or across the study. They wanted to see if the intervention really worked in their clinic. So regardless of if we found it to be effective across the board, does it really work for our clinic? Because we feel that our clinic is different, and if it works for us, then we would more than likely keep this intervention. However, there were barriers to buy in as well, and as Maggie mentioned early on, there were some providers who just didn't buy into this intervention. We had three types of providers. One type of provider who wouldn't buy in were people with a psychodynamic orientation. They thought that this infringed upon the relationship between them and their patients, and they didn't really fully buy into activated patients and having them become more active in their care. Some providers felt threatened by their patients asking questions. They wonder, well, why are you asking me questions now? Are you questioning the quality of my care? And then some providers, even though we went to all the clinics and explained to them the intent of the intervention, still didn't fully understand the intent of the intervention. So just to give you a quote from one of our interviewees about this. With some therapists, they felt threatened with the clients asking so many questions. So it really depended on the therapist. What the clients would tell me is that they wouldn't answer their questions directly or would ask the clients, why are you asking so many questions? Another participant told me that one of the therapists said, oh my God, I feel like I'm being interviewed by you. So as you see, there was some pushback from providers. The next factor we looked at was the role of leadership and key personnel in delivering the intervention. And overall, leadership was really instrumental in helping us deliver the interventions within the clinics. The site investigators who we interviewed talked highly of the care managers who actually delivered the care to the patients. They thought that the care managers were great communicators and problem solvers, and they really worked hard at building relationships within the clinics with the providers and the staff. And this really helped when they faced resource constraints within the clinic, which Nick talked about in his presentation. And just to link on to the next factor, which was availability of organizational resources and infrastructure support for carrying out the intervention, we found that one major issue that the clinics faced was just office space. You know, we're going in there, they have constraints within their clinic, not a lot of space, so where can these care managers actually work with the patients? And this has been illustrated by two quotes here. A couple of times there were space issues where I had an appointment and I had to cancel it because there was no office available. Another interviewee said, sometimes the patient calls you, oh, I'm here, can I do this now? And if it's someone that you've been having a hard time getting a hold of, you have to jump at that opportunity. That happened at least one time where I went to the clinic and there wasn't any space and, you know, we really couldn't do anything about it. So overall, this hybrid implementation study offered us some timely insight into what may happen if you were to deliver this intervention in a real-world context. And this information that we were able to glean from this study, even though it was within the context of an efficacy effectiveness study, could help to develop an implementation strategy that could be tested in a full-scale implementation study. Some things that we learned, I won't go into everything we learned, but there's a few pieces of few things that we learned that we actually are carrying over into our next study that's funded by PCORI. One is whether how effective it is to offer this training by telephone. For the most part, Maggie really wanted the training to be offered in person, but in this next study, we're going to look at, well, if it's going to be as effective and maybe more desirable to offer the DCT training over the phone. Another key thing that we're looking at in the new PCORI study is adding a provider component. We saw in the previous study that there was some provider pushback. So now if we offer this provider training component where we coach the providers and help them to be more receptive to their patients asking questions, how would that play out? Would that allow for us to have a more effective intervention and better outcomes for our patients? So overall, the findings from the study demonstrate the value of asking these implementation-related questions while you're still conducting your efficacy trial or your effectiveness trial. The study was able to identify factors that could be considered when designing the strategy for implementing the DSITIC intervention. And hopefully, this information will allow for us to move this intervention into practice more quickly. Thank you.